St. John chapters 15 and 16. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate has come, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, synagogues, yes, the hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering worship to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have spoken to you, that when the time for them has come, you may remember that I told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So today, one of the rare considerations, which in theory I try to do at least once a year, but in practice it turns out to be once every 3 or 4 years. And that is the only sensitive topic for us human beings. Meditated upon this topic all this last night. Money. Why is it a sensitive topic? When I speak to you about the kingdom of hell, that it is a place you may reside for all eternity, that is not a sensitive topic. Speak about the importance of loving Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. That is not an important or sensitive topic. But money. Money is a sensitive topic. What is wrong with us? We are too material. Analyzing and meditating upon the lives of the saints, those who are face to face with God in eternity, the great examples of our church, we find that every one of them gave of all of their material to God. Our Lord even told His apostles, "When you go out on your missions, do not think of what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall put on. Carry only a staff of a shepherd and a small bag and go. God will provide." The missionaries wandered out into Africa. They wandered into the United States. Into Europe. And they wandered into those places. There was nothing but sin and degradation. They brought nothing other than Jesus Christ. And what happened? Christendom. Hospitals. Schools. Churches. These are all material things. Homes. No longer nomads living in tents, traveling throughout the lands. No longer tribes warring against one another in Europe and in the Americas. They brought Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ did bring prosperity for those that love Him. I meet people on the airplane. They tell me, it's a very important rule that you have to be an ex-Catholic. Very rarely run across one who's not. You know, one of the reasons, there's two reasons why they left the Catholic Church. One reason was a ruler that was exercised with great vehemence and violence by what we call nuns. So that's one reason why they left the church, because they were taught by the nuns. We all know that nuns in the old days were intrinsically evil beings that were Satans walking around trying to destroy children for thousands of years. And that's why they opened so many schools and hospitals throughout the entire world, because they wanted to strangle the sick and they wanted to beat the kids. That's why they had so many vocations. Because deep down inside, that's what we want too. So that's one reason why they left the church, because they were taught by the nuns. Now, the other reason why they left the church is because the priest stood up on the pulpit and all he talked about was money. Every week he talks about money. Those are the two reasons. Now, it is interesting that these two reasons affect something called the body. The only thing that matters to us. We say that we love Jesus Christ. We say that the soul is important to us. We know we're going to live forever and we want to live forever in heaven. But she hurt my fingers. And he talked about my pocketbook. That's not religion. Let us analyze the body of Jesus Christ. It was strung out upon a cross, says St. Ambrose, like strings are stretched tight upon a harp. He shed every drop of his blood. He felt a little more pain than a ruler upon his fingers. He did not only give his pocketbook, he gave every drop of his being. And if only we knew how much of it is of a mockery of God when we stand in front of his tabernacle and we are scandalized and shocked because the man of God is talking about money. It is foolishness. Money is of no value in the next life. Money has been the cause of great sadness. It has been the cause of divisions in families. It is what sacred scripture says is the root of all evil, even though money itself is not evil. The church tells us that it is a sanctification. When we take that money and give it to God, look at all the things you've used money for. Renting of evil movies. Impurities, selfishness, games when we are supposed to be worshiping God upon Sunday, clothing that is offensive to God, music that is offensive not only to God but to our reason. We have used our money for all kinds of things, lawsuits of an unjust nature. How many things have we used our money for? Now let us put the amount of dollars that you have spent and that I have spent on those things. And let's take the amount of dollars that we have spent on Jesus Christ and His church. You will find there is no comparison. Not even remote. I asked Mr. Lee a couple of weeks ago. I'd lost the paper myself, but I asked him a couple of weeks ago to do some research on the median income in Colorado. The average money given to the church by Catholics, which is about 2.1% of their net income. In this parish, it's approximately 1.8%. A little below the Catholic average. The Protestants give about twice that, a little almost twice that. And yet it says in sacred scripture about tithing. St. Ambrose says that tithing is one of our obligations as a human being under pain of mortal sin. Because God made our bodies and we return them to God by bringing them here in the church. God made our tongues. We return them to God by singing His glory in the church. And God gave us money. And we return a tenth part of it to God. And God gave us time. And we return a tenth part of it to God in the season of Lent, which is a tenth part of the year. The money that is a tenth part of our income. And we give a tenth part as a minimum obligation of justice. We obviously should give more, says St. Thomas Aquinas. But this is a minimum. We do not meet the minimum, and we are scandalized. God demands actions of the body as well as actions of the soul. He who claims to be spiritual, but it does not drain into his body, is a liar. I pray to God privately. Don't need to go to Mass on Sunday. I don't steal. Don't need to give a tenth part of my money to God. Christ speaks only of one laborer who is worthy of his hire. Only one. And that is the Levite. It's the only one he mentions. The Levite. The priest. The laborer is worthy of his hire. He forbade the Levites to have their own land in the land of Israel. There were 11 divisions of the land of Israel for the 11 tribes. But the 12th tribe had no land. And that was the tribe of the Levites, the sons of Aaron. And they were required to be fed by all the other 11 tribes. And God says that by feeding the Levites and by caring for the Levites, they were the representatives of God. And by taking care of the Levites, you give a gift to God. Just as Abel killed his sheep and gave it to God. God wants to spread His kingdom throughout this entire world, but He gave to us a free will. We can choose to follow His will or not. One of the signs of salvation, as I mentioned to you at least several times before, says St. Ambrose, generosity in poverty. Remember, says St. Ambrose, our Lord was asked to be remembered in His kingdom when He had nothing, and when He was strung upon the cross, and when He was shedding His blood. When He had nothing to give, He was asked to give, and He gave. And when He had given all and was about to die, He gave again. He gave us His own mother. The greatest of all gifts. Shall we not strive in some small way to follow His example, whom we claim to be our Master? Do we stand in front of Him as the 11 and ask the question, is it I, Lord? Or have we become in Judas and say, is it I, Rabbi? What are we going to do? No one of us can claim innocence in this matter. No one. It does not matter whether it be the widow's mite or $1 million. We are all obliged to give. insofar as we can. It is a sign. Why is it that we love God? Why is it that the enemies of God always do well in this world, but the friends do not do what they say they will do? This is what our Lord warned in the gospel. The children of this wickedness, they are more wise than the children of light. The children of this wickedness and the mammon of this iniquity, they decide what they want to do and they go after it and they do it. The children of light don't. They just don't. What is our specific, particular goal here in this church of St. Isidore's? We are going to spread the kingdom of Jesus Christ and convert this city and this state back to God. We are going to bring His faith into this world. Building a building like this, it is only the drop of a beginning. And it's not even complete. It's a sign of faith. But it cannot be an ending. It is only a beginning. We will be judged, not only for our own souls, but we will also be judged for the lack of good that we have not influenced upon others. We travel through the world, like it says in the book of Kings, there was a woman who lived close to Elias. She never spoke to him. She said to Eliseus, his servant, "I have never spoken with him, but each day he walks by my house, and I know that he is a man of God. I have never spoken a word to him, but God emanates." And she converted to a better life without ever speaking to the prophet. And we are meant to be examples in the world, not just the priests, but all of us. But how does the world know? They measure us in two areas: sex and money. That is where the world measures us. Are we pure? Are we generous? These things are not possible without supernatural charity. And these are the areas in which we become the examples, spreading Jesus Christ throughout the world. And what you do does not only benefit you materially by a nice building, better than our little building over there on the other side of town, which could fit in the choir loft. Those are material considerations, not important. Benefits souls. Money is just not important. Many of the saints devoted themselves to despising it because of the danger. There's one very important rule when you give money. Never get change. If you loan money to someone else, it's a good policy to help yourself become detached. Someone needs $10 and you only have a $20 bill. You give them the 20 and you don't get change. Never get change. It's a good policy to help detachment. We all have to become detached. It is necessary to give in order to show our love for God and fulfill our obligations of justice towards Him. These are the universal teachings of sacred scripture, though the Catholic Church speaks about it very rarely. It's still an obligation. We need to deliver. We need to give to our Lord Jesus Christ. For our own benefit, for the spreading of the faith, It is important. We can afford anything we want. But do we want the spreading of His kingdom? We can afford our cigarettes, we can afford our drugs, we can afford our huge houses, we can afford our cars, we can afford all those things that benefit our bodies. But can we afford that which benefits the soul? Can we afford the spreading of His kingdom? No, we can't afford that. The justice of God grinds exceedingly small, it says in sacred scripture. And it will grind exceedingly small when we enter into the judgment. When have we done enough? When have we done our part? The day after we have died, all things are a gift of God. As Job tells us, naked was I born, naked return I into the earth. All else is a gift of God. And if He wants to take it away, that's fine with me. And then God blessed him with more gifts than he had ever had before. So it's time for us to begin again, to repent of our sins of the past and start over again. We must spread His kingdom. But it does demand cash. That's just the way it is. God demands many things. One of them is cash. We need to deliver. Now, it does not benefit God when we give Him adoration. It doesn't benefit God when we give Him money. It doesn't benefit God when we give Him anything, because He needs nothing. It only benefits ourselves, even our acts of adoration. And He blesses us. But these are obligations. Let us fulfill them. Very rarely speak of this, but it is necessary from time to time. It's an obligation. Why is it the only sensitive one when there are so many of much greater importance that we never even think about, such as staying in the state of grace? Oh, I can go to confession tomorrow. I might go to hell today. That only lasts forever. I can go to confession tomorrow. Our priorities are upside down. We need to turn them right side up again. We need to change our thinking and our ways. Not to benefit God, because He is happy without us, but to benefit ourselves. To spread His kingdom throughout the earth. Now we begin today a little campaign here. And just a 1 month thing to ask for 3 years of pledges from you. To help us to finish the building of the church and to get the zoning for the school and the rectory and to get these things accomplished. We're going to need $400,000, which is nothing. Be generous because of the love of God. It's only money, for heaven's sakes. Who gave it to you? God. How much of it have we spent in sinful uses? Do you ever put that on our balance sheet? How much of it have we squandered? How much of it have we misused? Defrauding the laborer of his wages. Just wages. Stealing from stores and so on. How many sins have we committed against money in its proper use? It's a simple way of beginning to show God that we're sorry. If we don't pay here, we will pay in eternity. And the price is much heavier in eternity. We don't want to pay that price. And so, we'll close here. But it is important that we give ourselves completely, body and soul, to our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just one of us or some of us, but all of us. We must spread His kingdom. St. Isidore's is a stepping stone towards the spreading of that kingdom, but it is only a beginning. There are children starving for truth. They don't even know it. There are souls in this world that need the faith and need the church. All this is a camp from which we can assault the city of Denver and conquer it for our Lord Jesus Christ. We build up our base camp, we send souls into the world, and we conquer. We are on the side of our Lord Jesus Christ. Three of the graduates of our school are going to be entering the seminary this fall. Hopefully, they persevere to the priesthood. And then we have more warriors. Baptisms, vocations, Catholic marriages. These are all stepping stones. This building, our hearts, they are stepping stones to spreading His kingdom. Every soul needs Jesus Christ. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so let's bring them to Him. And let's do our part. There's going to be phone calls made by the little committee in charge of this, connecting with you and asking you what your thoughts are about the, what your concerns are with regard to our beloved little parish here, what your desires are, and then asking for a commitment. In the end, of course, there's only one boss here. So remember that. But nonetheless, we do our best to take into account the wishes and desires of all for the sake of the common good, but especially for the sake of Jesus Christ. As Father LeBlanc, the old priest down in Phoenix, says all the time, you may not like what I say many times, but I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please Him. You're not the one who's going to be judging me when I die. He is. And St. John Chrysostom says, the majority of priests are damned. Because, not because of what they say, but because of what they don't say, because they don't want to offend anybody. Not because of what they do, because of what they don't do. St. John Chrysostom says the majority of priests are damned, not because of what they say, but because of what they don't say. Not because of what they do, but because of what they don't do. I must remember he was in the tabernacle. And if many times, or not often, but from time to time, I must say things that you don't like, that's tough. You're not going to be around when I die. He is. It is He that I must please. But we must all please Him. Let's do our part and be generous in our poverty. Everyone's poor nowadays. It's one of the hallmarks of our modern age. Everybody's poor. Just the fact that we've got billions of dollars and more wealth than any other time in history, it's only because of our great poverty. Everybody's poor now. You are all poor. Fine. Give your generosity to Jesus Christ in your poverty and He will bless you. And I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.